God bless you, Bill.
Thank you. Morning. Just want to say once again, I'm overwhelmed with the worship service, the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our worship service. Thank you, Ben, for being obedient. And just want to say that that's really what it's all about, worshiping God. That's what we're here for. So if you were here last week, and I think most of you were, Pastor Mel had me introduce what my message was going to be about, and it is about John the Baptist. Before we get into the Word, just want to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for this message that you have given me. And I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share this message with the body of Christ. I pray, God, that your blessing will be upon my words and upon this message. And upon every ear here, Lord God, that hears this message, let them be blessed, encouraged, and edified in the name of Jesus. And you will give all the glory to you, Lord God, because it's all about you. Amen. Okay, the title of this message is, Was John the Baptist Elijah? Now, you might ask or think that that's a curious thing to say, but the text that we're dealing with today is Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. But I just want to say that for all of you that have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to follow along with me. And for all of you who are note takers, I hope you have a big tablet, because we are going to do a lot of scriptures today. And if you write down the notes and take them with you, and during this week in your devotion time, you want to reflect back on it, I think that you may see some deeper things than what I can bring out in this message today. So I first want to say that I don't claim to be a teacher of Bible prophecy, but I do consider myself a student in end time prophecy. I'm just amazed at what God has to say, and the fact that he wanted to share it with us. God knows the end from the beginning, and he recorded it in his word so that we might know the times that we're living in. We get an opportunity that the prophets of old and the people of the time of Jesus didn't have. We have the opportunity to reflect back on history and see where God, what God's plan is, where he started, where we are, and where we're going. So let me get into the text now. We're going to go to Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 14. And if you're following, I'll give you time to get there, because I'm going to look that up as long along with you. So I want to start with verse 13. It says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Verse 14, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. That's a curious thing for Jesus to say. Mostly I'll be using the Dr. David Jeremiah Study Bible for this, which is the NIV, and some other versions for clarity. And this verse in the New Living Translation says, and if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah. the one the prophets said would come. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So we're going to try to use our ears today to hear what Jesus was saying. So if you can accept it, John is Elijah. What was he saying? What was Jesus talking about? Was he talking about reincarnation? I want to say emphatically, no, it was not. In fact, he couldn't have been Elijah because Elijah never died. You can't be reincarnated if you haven't died, right? So let me read it one more time. Verse 14, if you can accept it. And remember, Jesus was speaking just before this. And he was talking about John the Baptist. And he says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And then he says, and if you are willing to accept it, he said, if you can accept what I'm telling you, what I'm preaching to you, he's saying what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. All right? So if he wasn't talking about reincarnation, what was he talking about? So I figured that I need to find something more out about Elijah. So I thought I'd go to the book of Elijah. Guess what? No book of Elijah. Although there should have been, because he was one of the greatest prophets that God ever put on the earth. And there was a lot of us have the same qualities, especially in his weaknesses. But anyways, I had to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. So we'll go there now. I will go there now. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It starts out, says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. So, first of all, where are we talking about? Where the heck is Tishbe in Gilead? Well, I got my old then and now maps out and checked it out. So Gilead is on the east side of the Jordan River, not far from Jericho. And Tishbe is in the northern part of Gilead. So he was born in 900 BC, and he was taken up by God in a whirlwind in 801 BC. He was 99 years old when God took him up. So he was raised by a Jewish family that we know almost nothing about. His father's name was Zadok, but his mother's name is not mentioned in the Bible. So being from a small village, he probably had little or no schooling. And he was homeschooled. I'm sure he was homeschooled because his parents must have been devout believers, because they named him Elijah, which actually means the Lord is my God, or Yahweh is my God. So he certainly lived up to that. So let's read on then. He says, next it says that, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, so wait, who's Ahab? Okay, Ahab is a king. So let's just back up one chapter to chapter 16. Verse 29, we'll read from 29 to 33. It says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel. And he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Now remember, he was the sixth king from Saul, and Saul, who became evil in the latter part of his ministry, and the Bible tells us that every king after him was more evil than the one before. And now we have Ahab on the scene, and he did more evil than all those before him. He not only considered it trivial, and I'm reading from the David Jeremiah version, considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole. Asherah was a goddess, and so he made an image of this pagan goddess, Asherah. And he did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. So he was an evil person. And now, I want to go to verse 34, but before we do that, I want to, first, verse 34 is going to take us down a rabbit trail, but I just want to show you how God reminds us that he knows the end from the beginning, and the scriptures in almost every book of the Bible shows us that. But let's back up a couple of books to Joshua, and go to Joshua chapter 6. Okay. We go to verse 26. It says, at that time, talking about, this is just after they defeated Jericho. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Okay, flip back now to our text in 1 Kings 16. Verse 34, read with me what it says. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram, and he set up his gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun, 300 years earlier. It's amazing. So Joshua reigned in the 12th century BC, and he actually took the city of Jericho in 1254 BC at the age of 101. 101 years old. Can you imagine being 101 years old? Now, I checked this out. Jericho, the city of Jericho, was 6 acres. 6 acres. Think about that. Our property out back, where Laurie cuts the grass, and Gordon and all those who cut that grass out there, think of starting at the baseball field, going all the way to the highway, over to the tree line, back up and across to the baseball diamond. That's approximately 6 acres. Papa Luke, can you think 7 years from now that you could put on full battle garment and walk that distance once a day for 6 consecutive days, and then on the 7th day you're going to walk around there 7 times? That is amazing. That's amazing. I hope I can do that when I'm that age. So, anyways, let's get back to Elijah. So, you're probably asking, what does this have to do with John the Baptist? Well, I'm glad you asked that. We're going to go there. So, see what the Bible has to say about John the Baptist. We'll go to Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Let me go to Luke chapter 1, verse 13, and I'll read it. It says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So, the angel of the Lord quoted a portion of Malachi chapter 4. So, if you just flip back here to Malachi chapter 4, just before Matthew, and read verse 6. So it says, "He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." So let's also turn back to chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Malachi 3:1, it says, "I will send my messenger," talking about John, "who will prepare the way before me," speaking of Jesus. "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger, Jesus, of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." So, We're talking about two different events. We're talking about two different men with the same ministry, a similar ministry, but different events. So, let me pause for a moment, and I want to read to you some of the comparisons between Elijah and John the Baptist. One, both were victims of evil women. Elijah with Jezebel in 1 Kings 19 and 2, and John with Herodias and her daughter in Matthew 14, 6 to 11. Both dwelt in the wilderness, Elijah in 1 Kings 17, verses 3 through 5, and John in Matthew 3, verse 1. Third, both confronted wickedness boldly. Elijah with Ahab in 1 Kings 18 and 17, and John with King Herod in Matthew 14 and 4. Fourth, both wore hairy garments and girded themselves with leather belts. Elijah in 2 Kings 1, verse 8, and John in Matthew 3, verse 4. Okay, so I want want to go to Matthew chapter 3. And I'm going to read from the NLT, so I got to do my little phone here. I don't have that many Bibles in front of me. So, verse 3. Verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. So, we're talking about two different events again. And I want to go to Matthew 17. And I wanted to say in the beginning about Bible prophecy and about the writers of Bible prophecy. Back in the days all through, they could be speaking about one event, and then in the very same sentence, just a period or a comma, they could be talking 1,000, 2,000 years in advance. Just like that, they switch gears. So even Jesus did this, and I want you to see that now in Matthew 17, verses 1. Verses 1 through 13, so I'll read that. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was put in that position, I don't think I'd be talking about making memorials to see Moses and Elijah alive before you and Jesus in his glorified state. And Peter is asking if he should build them. Anyways, I think he was still babbling on when the Lord intervened. It says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them and said, get up, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. Verse 12. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Did you catch that? Jesus was talking about two different things. In verse 11, Jesus said, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. Who was he talking about? Elijah. John didn't restore all things. He wasn't talking about John the Baptist. He was talking about Elijah. But right away, he shifts gears and he describes John the Baptist. So they understood then that he was talking about John the Baptist. So he said that John the Baptist did come in the spirit and in the spirit and power of Elijah already. So now, I had a curious thing. I said before that this message started probably 8 months ago when I was reading, just casually reading, and I read this verse, Matthew 11 and 14. And right away, it just kind of jumped out at me. I'm sure you all had that happen. Holy Spirit just shows you something. Little did I know that 8 months later, I would have finished this message. I worked on it week on, week off, maybe a couple weeks off, and then get a nudge from the Holy Spirit to get back to this message, and I kept going on. So I had it finished about a week or so ago when Pastor asked if I was ready to give us. Yeah, I'm ready. So yesterday morning, I was going over this message and getting ready to get prepared for it, and I got another nugget. And I have to share it because it's important in this message. So let's go to Luke again, and we'll go to Luke chapter 7 this time.